Speaking of taking it back, guys, welcome back to the Soul Back podcast. I promised everyone we would be back at some point. I don't think any of us anticipated we would be back this soon, but I'm glad we were able to do it.
What's the
This
point?
is the look back at 2011. Now, I must be honest. When Ed initially proposed that we get into the 2010s as well, my initial response was why? But Tom, after Ed sent you his notes and you started doing your own notes, I think you made a mention that there are some good albums here.
There was some good stuff. Before we talk about it, what was the consensus of 2010? Did we say it was good or okay? I don't remember.
I think it was an eh.
Yeah. So 2011, I think, actually was a step forward, if that's even possible. I thought everything at one point from 2008 was just like downhill, but I guess there were still fluctuations going on, because 2011, from what I'm seeing here, looking back at my notes, pretty solid year. And it was, and I'll get into my story, but Ed, it was pretty solid.
It was a solid year in hindsight. Like when we were living it, to your point, Tom, to your point, Kyle, we were like, oh my gosh, what is going on? Where are the hits? We aren't getting the bangers, blah, blah, blah. But we were getting albums. It is 2023. I just posted the 25 best albums of 2023 so far. I got a YouTube video coming out later this week. Play it. It might be five R&B albums on. Like, there's no one's just putting out anything, but this list is tons of albums, and they all aren't classics, but there's some good stuff. You see some innovative people. We see some new faces. Now, we know, because we live in the future, some of these new faces didn't hang on for too long. But 2011 was a promising year, I think so.
It's interesting that you guys keep talking about like looking back at it now, because like you guys said, during the moment we were not too happy with R&B at that time. I wonder how much nostalgia plays into this and the fact that we lived through those moments that we're able to look back at these times as them being good, because I don't know. I think there is some value to looking back. I think there's also some value to living in the moment and kind of knowing what you like and you don't like. Plus, also, as we all know now, like our tastes have evolved over the years. So I'm curious if we listen to these albums again with, the ears that we have now, would we have a different perspective on it? I'm looking at albums, and we'll talk about it later, from like The Weeknd. It's a different sound. Frank Ocean, a different sound. But since R&B has evolved so much since then, and definitely they have been influential in that evolution, I'm wondering if we would listen to these albums differently too.
Yeah, that's a good question. I think some of the positive stuff you'll hear today is more about us being like, man, it's tough in these R&B streets today. So I feel like we're a little bit more forgiving of some of the eras of 2011. But in terms of sound, I do think that there are some albums, we'll talk about those two in particular in a little while, that it's easier to digest now, because it was then it was just so weird and stark and just like, what is this? Is this even R&B? But now, because that sound is so prevalent, you're kind of like, whatever. I'll take and leave some points. But like I said, I won't spoil it. I have a lot to say about those two brothers.
I also think, Kyle, it's important to add some context. So 2011, there was no Instagram yet. Twitter had been around for a couple of years. Facebook had been around for a while. I think MySpace might have still been around. But I like to, I mean, CDs were still being released and people were buying music in stores. There was no streaming. But I'd like to point out that Genuine, like, I remember when he was doing like Ustream sessions. You remember those? I thought that was pretty cool and innovative for its time, like him in the studio recording his album. Now we got Instagram Live and all that stuff. Everything is live all the time. But like back then, that was a bit ahead of its time. So, it was a different time of how we consumed the music.
For sure. And 2011, Tom, I know was a big year for you. I know you went to a lot of album releases, a lot of events during that time. I got so was on the upswing. We were really climbing at that point. You were making
Well, I
quite a
dragged you into it that year, if I remember
That
correctly.
is
You weren't even
true.
on board, and I forced you.
No.
I think
Oh, was this Kyle's year? Okay.
This is my year, but I'll tell you why. It was because I saw what Tom was doing, you know, what he was building, and for at that time I knew him as R&B Tommy. Now there's different R&B Tommies out there now, Ed.
Oh.
And
but the
R&B Tommy,
let's move on, player.
Listen, the R&B Tommy I know is you know, I got soul. That's the real R&B Tommy.
We recognize one Tommy up on this podcast.
Yeah. First of all, no one even calls me Tommy besides my wife. So let's just move on.
All right.
But anyway, I do have a lot of good memories of 2011, going to a lot of you know, listening events and shows and all that, and just being on the scene. So I have fond memories, especially a lot of the newer artists who were just breaking out and labels looking to, you know, put them on. And they were calling out whoever they could to show up to these events. So it was a fun time.
And I'll tell you what, I'm just going to quickly shout out some of those artists, because I think we talked about it on the last podcast too. This is kind of like the lost era of R&B. We had a lot of artists that came out during this era, but they didn't really have an album. They may have had a single here and there, and then they kind of bounced. I'm just going to name a couple of them. Because we can't really spend the whole day talking about these guys, but folks like Alex Boyd, shout outs to Alex Boyd, rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
Loriana May, she dropped a couple of singles at that time. Mateo, Rudy Currents, Chanel. You guys remember Chanel, right? With the Buttons record?
Yeah. Young Money
at that time.
Yeah.
Lonnie Burrell. Lonnie's, of course, still doing a lot of work with Tank behind the scenes, but he had a moment too. So just a lot of artists that didn't exactly make it, but unfortunately it was that time in music when it was just tough for a traditional R&B artist to break out, but they still had great music. So I really want to give them a shout out.
You'll see a lot of artists on this list, not even the names that Kyle just named, but there are, especially going in these next couple of years, of artists who are, we thought we're going to be next up, but the landscape changed so drastically.
Yeah.
Man, they could not keep up. And I think we lost so much talent really going into like the mid-2000s, well into the 2010s. There are a lot of artists that should have been on a higher level, but the game just changed and I hate it.
Yeah. And in the next couple of years, you'll hear more names that you're vaguely familiar with, but they had a lot of great music. But I think it's time to talk about some of these albums that came out in 2011. Do we want to start off with the females or the males here?
Let's be gentlemen, Kyle. Let the ladies go first.
So I think what's interesting to point out here is that this is kind of the mixtape era of R&B. We hadn't fully reached the EP era yet. They're still mixtapes, and a lot of them are independent releases. Because at this time, just to paint the picture for you, on a major label, you were either a super established superstar act or you were getting signed as a new artist and they were trying whatever they could to push you. The middle ground artists, the respectable veterans, they weren't really signed to majors at that time anymore. Mm-hmm. I think, Tom, a lot of them had gone independent.
Yep. Yeah, and a lot of them were trying to figure out that route, which was also an interesting, thing to watch play out.
Yeah, because I think we had a conversation about this. It was like, how did they even try to sell their music at that time? I mean, it's easy to look at it in 2023 and say, oh, they should have done this and they should have done that. But really, I just remember back in the day, they would post their iTunes links.
Let's keep it 100. Looking back, the majority of them had no idea what they were doing. They had no clue.
And it's not their fault. That's not their fault.
That's what I was going to say. They didn't know. And a lot of us were figuring all of this stuff out at the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at any rate, let's talk about the rookies first. I like talking about the rookies because we just talked about some of these new artists that didn't quite make it. I want to highlight a couple of artists, you know, that did make it at this time. These are the rookies for 2011. You have Marsha, Late Nights, Early Mornings. I know that's going to be on your guys' list because that album from top to bottom.
Oh, Lord.
Incredible.
Yes.
Incredible. Player.
Yep. Love that one too.
We have Janae Aiko, Selling Souls. That was her debut mixtape. Tom, there was a huge buzz around Janae at
that
time.
It was like the next coming of something. I remember everyone talking about that project at the time. When I say of something, it was because I really didn't get the hype. Yeah. I didn't feel like it was the next coming of something. I thought, yeah, this is cool. But like, I feel like I've heard something like this before. It wasn't like so innovative to me. So that was just, that's why I say that.
Tom, yes. Can I talk on this real quick as an old head when it comes to Janae? Because Janae, there's some other artists we'll get to, Frank, Weeknd. There were a lot of artists that started to appear in this era. And I've talked before about the changing tide of generations that happened around 2008, 2009, 2010. With social media, we've got these young fans getting a platform to talk about like, oh, I'm just hearing something for the first time. So I heard all this buzz about Janae, and it was just like she was going to be the queen of R&B. She's reinventing neo soul and blah, 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 blah. And for younger fans who I guess weren't very established and knew some of those artists from the early 2000s like we did, this did seem fresh and new. But then I heard it and I was like, okay. It was fine. And I actually appreciate this EP a lot more than some of the later lullabies we got. We'll get to those down
below. Lullabies.
But
hey, I just can I please remind you, we're blocked by Janae on Twitter already. Let's ease off.
Oh, well, she won't see this then. But anyway. Well, the point is just that we got a new audience here that was appreciating different aspects of R&B. So to them, this was brand new because they hadn't heard anything about it and they gravitated toward her.
Yeah.
She's all right in doses, but yeah, this one didn't light my world on fire.
And then we have The Weeknd. He had that mixtape series, Frank Ocean, Nostalgia Ultra. Tom, two other artists. You couldn't go anywhere. Bad. And I feel like this was the first time in the social media era where that cult following broke through and became like the majority, like the mainstream. We're like, you know what, never mind what's going on radio, this is what I want to check out, because this is what all the underground people are listening to. And that was kind of like the first time, because there was that division in R&B at that time. You had the old folks like us that were like, no, this is traditional, this is real R&B. And then you had that cult following that was like, no, this is R&B, this is the good R&B. Like, that was the first time I really experienced that. And like, at my age where I'm in the midst of all that, I wasn't old enough to be like Ed, who only knew traditional R&B. Like,
I
could teeter totter between both sides, but that was the first time I kind of just experienced that.
Man, I wasn't even that. You mentioned we were the old crowd. Yeah. In 2011, I felt like I was getting old quickly. I was 27, 28, and I'm like, this is trash. This is what's all this hype about? I mean, no offense. No, I mean, I just didn't get it at all. When I heard Frank Ocean, I'm like, is this guy even singing on key? I don't know why people like this. You know, The Weeknd, it was some dark and moody sound that just made me want to go in the fetal position in the corner somewhere. I'm like, I don't like this. Why do people like this? So that was my thinking at the time.
Well, players. Again, I think it goes back to the change in tide. So Kyle, you are totally right. This was the era, and we saw it in hip hop too, where there were these new artists coming in with these sounds that were just weird to our ears. Yeah. But there was a generation that was like, these are our legends, even though they had a mixtape and didn't have anything legendary behind them yet. Hey. But stick with me. These are our legends. These are the people we're going to support. Everybody before them were trash. These are our people. And then they were the ones that began to get pushed by labels, and they were the ones that were elevated. So that's where we started to see that divide between kind of the fan bases. And that's why we had this old head versus young head. And it's gotten a little better now, because that younger audience has matured and they are starting to be like, yeah, I need a little bit more substance in my music. So I think that we're seeing it a little bit stronger now. Yeah. But at the time, yes, it was a war. And I'll say this about both those albums. Frank Ocean's Nostalgia Ultra, I know people love it. Oh, it's a classic. This was also the era where everything was a classic. That was good. That started here. Everything started in 2011. I thought this was okay. We'll talk about the Channel Orange next time. I thought that was much, much better. But The Weeknd, there was something about this weird little zombie cocaine boy that I was like, I kind of like this. It's weird. I was okay with this movement of alt R&B because it was giving us something new. Now, I had issues with it later on when that became the only sound and the more soulful sounds were pushed away. Then I had beef because, no, we need to have a diverse R&B market. That should not be the only sound. Mm-hmm. But as far as this being a sect of R&B, I was okay with it because I thought it was interesting. Clearly, this dude just copy and pasted Aaliyah's final album. I mean, she's even sampled on the thing. I'm sorry. People, oh, well, no, he was influenced by Drake. Look, that's Aaliyah's final album. You cannot tell me otherwise. He took the elements of that darkness. He just slapped on his weird stuff. And to me, it kind of worked. He had 3 mixtapes that came out. The House of Balloons, that was the one I liked the best. It was a shift that unfortunately would dominate for a decade. That is way too long to dominate. But at the time, I was all right with it because it was there.
And Kyle, you made a great point. This was the start of when R&B was being influenced by Drake.
Yep. Well, I wouldn't even say Drake because the next question I was going to ask. And actually, pop quiz for you guys. I don't know if you remember. The original term for this genre was not actually called alternative R&B. There was actually another term that came before that.
Wasn't it like electronica R&B or something weird like that?
No. So I'm on Wikipedia right now. Hipster R&B was what Tom and I were calling it.
I remember hipster R&B.
But there was also PB R&B. I don't know what PB stood for, but that's what it was called before.
I don't remember PB R&B. Anyway, this PP R&B was interesting.
PB.
Peanut butter.
Yes.
This peanut butter R&B, got stuck in my throat. But I like elements of it. I just did not like the oversaturation of it. And Kyle, I do think that, you know, was this the Drakeification of R&B? It was a hip-hopification.
What I was going to ask. How much, because the thing is, when you talk about traditional R&B fans, like we've always said, there's a tree, there's a lineage where the listeners of Jodeci would transition into 112. And then, you know, from the 112 fans, you would have the B2K fans. There was always a lineage. Mm-hmm. I'm a firm believer that the children of, you know, the Drakes, the Janaes, the Weeknd, that all came from that Kanye 808 album. Because even at that time, while I was loving traditional R&B, these folks that loved The Weeknd and Janae, they loved that 808s album, and I didn't understand that album either. So,
well, if you know me, you know I despise that album. But you're right. That became the template for so much because, again, and I'm going to keep harping on it on these early years, 2008, 2009 reshaped everything. And the reason why it was so difficult for us R&B fans, you talked about going from Luther, the Jodeci, the 112 to Neo Soul. It was always a natural progression. Yeah. It was hard to go from, you know, mid-2000s Alicia Keys to 808. It's like, what is this?
And
it was a drastic shift. And then everything you love just it vanishes and you only have this. It was very strange, but it was because hip hop by the late 2000s became such a dominant force on the charts and in the industry and commercially that everybody just started pulling from that to stay relevant. And here we are, even in 2023, we're still dealing with that.
I do wonder though, where does Ryan Leslie fit into all of this? Because he was another innovator.
Poor Ryan. I just feel like Ryan's a guy that just, there's some artists that just like peak too soon or peak too late. I feel like if he came on a little bit earlier, he would have got more love. He just fell in that pit that just sucked up so many artists. Mm-hmm. I can't blame him for bouncing because he had so much potential.
Yeah.
But he got eaten up by the 808 monster.
Yeah. A couple more debut albums that came out, EPs actually. We have Luke James, the hashtag Luke EP. This was kind of his introduction. The hype around Luke James for R&B fans at the time, Tom, because it was, yeah, you had The Weeknd, you had Frank Ocean, you had Miguel. I wouldn't even put Miguel in that category, but I know people did that at that time. But that was that dark, moody music where I don't think vocals were the emphasis with that music. It was more about the vibe. Here comes Luke James. He has the I Want You record. He's singing. And that EP is an introduction to Luke. Still had a little bit of that moody vibe to it, but just a different difference from that and The Weeknd and all that. Tom, that hype around Luke at that time was big.
It was a progression, I felt like, of R&B and soul music. I know me and you thought he was the next big thing. And it was really a blow to us, I feel like, when he wasn't. I mean, Ed, I mean, do you remember feeling that way as well?
I hadn't met you guys yet. We were a couple of years away from that, but yeah. I for sure thought that he was next up. I thought that The Weeknd and the Frank Oceans would be kind of just sounds of the moment, kind of like Crunkin' B, kind of just like, okay, this is something that'll be hot for a year or two. I thought that Luke was the next one because he had the foundations and more traditional R&B, but it sounded current. And I like this EP, but boy, when we get to next year, that Whispers in the Dark, I was like, okay, this is the guy.
Yeah.
And now he's just an actor. Okay.
Shout outs to Luke. And then Bridget Kelly, the Every Girl EP, signed to Roc Nation at the time. Had the record that eventually Frank Ocean took back, Thinking About Forever. A moment that still pisses Tom off.
I was so upset about that. You don't know how I felt about Frank Ocean at the time, but I was not happy with that individual.
Yeah.
Although I did love Bridget Kelly. I loved that project. The thing I remember about Bridget Kelly too, when I was out on the scene, I'd pop into her at different events. She'd always show love. So I'd always appreciate that. Like, she's super cool. And I thought she was another one that was gonna have a real shot coming through Roc Nation. But I did enjoy this project though. Yeah. It was a cool one.
And as Ed would say, and now she's just a podcaster.
Oh. But she's another one. I didn't have her on the level of Luke James because I really thought he was going to be Usher 2020 of the 2010s. Yeah. But I liked her a lot, and I just knew she would do something.
Yeah, but Bridget Kelly, I felt like Roc Nation, you got Jay-Z behind her.
Yeah.
He brought her on his tour. She was performing with him. Like, she's going to get that push from Jay-Z. Like, it's going to work.
Yeah.
It has to work. And here we are.
But the podcast that she does right now, I think it's called See the Thing Is, it does really well for her too. Shows a different side of her with her personality. But musically,
you gotta pivot.
There was a lot of promise. But yes, Tom, you definitely have to pivot. So shout outs to Bridget and shout outs to Luke for making that pivot, because a lot of artists that we mentioned earlier, they're nowhere to be found. So at least,
and we've never announced this so far, but when this podcast doesn't work out, us three are going to form a group and start singing music.
Yes,
we got to pivot.
I mean, look at our competition. We're gonna go gold just because we put out something. Yeah. It's cool.
All right, let's talk about the albums that came out this year. We'll start with the females here. Guapale, Break of Dawn. Karina, she dropped an EP, Trips to Venus. Kiki White, Unbelievable. Kelly Price, self-titled Kelly. Little Mo, P.S. I Love Mo. Layla Hathaway, Where It All Began. Beyonce, you have the 4 album. Can't go too far without talking about Beyonce. We have Maya, the Kiss album. Selena Johnson, Chapter 5. Teedra Moses, she dropped an EP, Luxurious Underground. So, a lot of solid projects here, guys. Oh, and Mary J, My Life 2, which Ed thinks is actually a really good album. I know Tom is not fond of that album.
Well, before we talk about that one, I think Jill Scott as well.
Right. Yeah.
And Lettucey. I wanted to mention those two.
Yeah, Pieces of Me, that Lettucey album. Yep.
But
and Kelly Rowland, Here I Am.
Yep.
Yeah.
That Mary album, though, Is that the one that had Someone to Love Me on it?
Yeah.
With Diddy?
It had 25.8.
It had 25.8 on it. Now that's for sure.
It's around the same time, Tom.
I just...
Yeah.
I'm a huge Mary fan. I love Mary. The queen, legend. I just was not feeling her in this era. It just, you know... I mean, 25.8 was a cool song, but it wasn't vintage Mary. I guess maybe I was expecting too much. I don't know how you felt about it, Ed.
I loved it. I know a lot of people were expecting, because it was called My Life too, and yeah. You know, my issues with sequel albums and trying to capitalize on a different era. Player, you're 20 years older. There's no way you can capitalize on. But as a standalone album, if it was called something else, maybe people wouldn't have been so upset about it. Mm-hmm. I liked it. I thought it was fun. It's one of my more favorite, maybe my favorite of the modern day Mary releases. It had a bunch of songs on it and I still play today. 25.8 is what the children call, I was going to say a banger, but now I don't say that. It slaps. It slaps, Tom.
Oh, jeez. Don't talk like that on this podcast, please.
But the point is, the album I thought was very, very fun. So I'm all about this album. But I know I'm in the minority on that. It's all good, Mary. I love My Life too.
I want to talk about the Kelly Rowland album, Here I Am, which had the big hit Motivation. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing that song. That was a massive.
That's our boy, album. Rico Love, on that one,
shout
was it?
Shout outs to Rico. I did not like the rest of the album, but Motivation was a great song. But Beyonce, the album after this for Kelly was way better.
Most of Kelly's albums are just all right. Yeah. And yes, the album after this was her best album, but I love me some Motivation. There were like 84 remixes of this thing. I had a version somewhere on my, I liked Motivation. The album wasn't in. Yeah. But I have a remix with Da Brat on it. Oh, that remix was incredible. I don't know why that one didn't get played.
No, I didn't like Motivation. I thought, because it was played out probably, but there was actually a few songs on the album, some album cuts I did like. But yeah, as a whole, a bit uneven.
But Beyonce, that 4 album, when I think about it now, second best Beyonce album for me.
Man.
And behind what?
B-Day, I think, the second album. Mm.
Good for you. You got number one right. B-Day is her best.
You don't think 4 is her second?
No, I do think that the self-titled is her second. But, you know, different strokes. The thing about Beyonce is, like, most of her projects are so different. It's almost hard to kind of rank them. But, yeah, this was the last pure Beyonce album. And also it was the last Beyonce album to me before everybody started losing their mind at the very sight of her name.
That's true.
Player, right now, my wife is not in the building because she's at a Beyonce concert. I don't want to know how much that thing costs. I'm like, don't even show me the receipts. Just go and have fun.
Which state is she seeing this in?
Nashville. She went.
Yeah, because they're not putting that in Alabama, unfortunately, yet.
Well, unfortunately, no.
But, yeah, that Beyonce album had two of the greatest records, I think, of the 2010s. I would deem them as classics to this day, guys.
Party. Which records were these?
Party and Love on Top. Thank you.
Yeah. I would agree.
Yeah, classic.
Even though Andre 3000's verse had nothing to do with the song.
Yeah.
It didn't.
Now, I'm thinking about the lyrics. Yeah, I guess it kind of didn't. Yeah, but it kind of didn't.
You can't go wrong. He could say whatever he wants on a song and it would be considered great. So you can't go wrong.
I hated when they had the video when they put J. Cole in it and his verse.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
So pedestrian. I'm like, come on, Cole. I'm sure this will get me hate. So send your hate to E.T. Bowser on Twitter. I'm on Thread, so I won't see it.
So, Tom, can you say the same thing about Rick Ross? Because his verses have nothing to do with the songs either.
Rick Ross was like a simple copy and paste job. It's like the song was done. They're like, Ross, we need a verse. He went into his hard drive and sent something over and they pasted in the song. That's what it felt like every single time.
That's what it still is. All he does is like, okay, I'm going to talk about some chicken wings. I'm going to talk about how I'm friends with some dead gangster that's been gay for 30 years. Mm. Like, Rick Ross just makes up stuff and we just go
listen.
Along.
I can never hate on Rick Ross because no matter what he's saying, he makes it sound like it's of the utmost of importance. It sounds so profound about eating chicken wings.
Yeah.
I'm like, damn, I don't even know what he just said, but it sounds important.
I might
he is so confident in his lies.
Oh man. Tom, that's Selena Johnson Chapter 5 album. That's a very solid album.
Solid. To me, I didn't love it compared to some of her previous ones, but it had some songs on there.
Yeah. And then Ed, that Maya Kiss album, was that her first independent release? Because it was during that time when she dropped like a bunch of independent albums.
Yes, I rent her discography not long ago. Go check that out on soulandstereo.com. But yeah, that one, I didn't love that album, but that was around the time she was transitioning into independence. The later ones were really good. But this one, she was still. And you'll see, there are a lot of names, especially when we get to the brothers. There are lots of names that we love in this era that were dropping albums. And they were a lot of them were, because they were just trying to find their footing. The ground was changing. Everybody was going independent. They're trying to find themselves in these new sounds. So a lot of the established names kind of hit or miss.
I have to shout out Maya real quick, though. We mentioned that she started her independent movement around this time. Man, it is a movement. We're here over a decade later. She does everything herself. She's dropped some great projects through the years. She has a lot of traction on social media. I wish a lot of other artists would follow the same blueprint, because she seems to really get it and put pride into it.
Yeah.
Yes. And she has the one fan base that isn't psychotic. Shout out to the, what they call the Mayas, the mosquitoes, whatever they call them. Y'all are cool.
Oh,
I like y'all.
Wow.
Not mosquitoes.
That's the first M thing I could think of. Muffins? I don't know.
Munchkins. No, I don't know.
That's worse. I'd rather be a mosquito.
The vegans.
That's probably what they are.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of the Jill Scott album?
It was one of her weaker ones. Again, it's not terrible because there's really no garbage Jill Scott album, but it was just okay. It was all right.
Is that the one that had the duet with Anthony Hamilton?
Yes.
Now that is if we're talking classic songs of this decade, I'm putting that in there.
That was a good one.
Yep. And then we got to give a shout out to Ledisi, Pieces of Me. That was a big record.
Great album. That
was a great album. And we didn't mention Kelly earlier, Kelly Price. I thought her album was very good too. After a couple of years of some all right stuff, that one was very good.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk about the fellas here. Let me just list this off. Tell me what comes to mind. Stop me at any time, of course. Anthony David, As Above, So Below. Anthony Hamilton, Back to Love. Tom, that was kind of a departure from his previous albums.
Yeah, he went to a more, Anthony Hamilton was like deep soul, sad music, and this was more upbeat, up-tempo, a little bit even more poppy.
Yeah, very poppy.
It wasn't bad, though.
It was all right.
This is the album with a Carrie Hilson feature on it, right?
Yep.
Yep.
It is out. Okay.
Never liked
that. I liked the song, but it just was really unexpected and not what I expected. Not his sound, really, to me.
Yeah. Brian McKnight, Just Me. Carl Thomas, Conqueror. Rico Love was on that one, too.
Yeah.
Don't
last
Kiss
one.
Me. Great song.
Yep. Eric Roberson, Mr. Nice Guy.
Jamie that one Wine. Was good.
Yes.
Yep.
Is that the one with the happy face?
Yep.
Hell yes.
Yes.
Little weird, that album cover, but I don't care. It's a good music.
Yes, the album was dope regardless.
Genuine Elgin. Jagged Edge, The Remedy. They have a great song on there called Spaceship. The rest of the album was no good, but Spaceship.
No. There's a few good ones.
I don't know. I just remember Spaceship being an amazing song.
Yeah, it's another one of those so-so albums. It's so-so.
Javier, Come Through for You. Joe, The Good, The Bad, The Sexy. Ed, where did that rank in your Joe rankings? Ooh.
It's not the worst, but it was near the back. I can't remember what was the worst, but it's definitely one of the weakest Joe albums. It's not horrible. Again, it's not horrible, but it's
Joe,
definitely one of his weakest ones.
Joe, if you're listening from wherever you're at right now, it was your worst album. I'm sorry.
No, I don't know
what
about that.
What are you putting last then?
I got to go check the rankings. I know it wasn't last, but I know it was near the back.
Even Joe would probably agree with me.
Hmm. Johnny Gill, Still Winning. Solid album there.
Yep, that was good.
That was a solid album. Ooh, you'll like this one, Tom and Ed. Mindless Behavior. This is a little out of our demographic of things, but they were big. You got to give them that. They were huge.
They were huge. Was this the one with Mrs. Wright? Because I love that goofy little song.
I think that was, yeah.
I can't really name one song. I really thought they were the next boy band to blow up.
If it was 5 or 10 years earlier, absolutely. But too bad they weren't on their cocaine stripper music like everybody else. So they missed out.
Speaking of which, did you know that there is a new Scream tour now?
With who?
It's hosted by Bow Wow, but you have one more, Papa J, that girl Laylay, and Young Dylan. I don't know what's happening here.
Who is that girl Lele?
I feel like I'm too old to even discuss this. I don't know.
Yeah,
I
Is
never
that
heard of
girl
any of them.
Lele that girl that has a TV show? That's I feel like that's a TV show person.
Hey,
I
Tom, they're
we're
playing
all
at
old, we don't know.
The Hulu Theater at MSG, so people are
That's
going.
impressive.
They're going to that.
I mean, that holds a few thousand people, so shout out to them.
And Ed,
Shout out.
they're gonna be at the Hampton Coliseum in VA.
Oh, they're gonna shout out. Look at VA holding it down for these people I've never heard of. Say hey to a 50-year-old Bow Wow for me.
That boy Ed.
Yes.
Shout outs to him. All right, let's continue with this list here. Mint Condition 7. Music Soul Child. Music in the Magic. Tom, this is a different music album. The cover is purple.
If I'm being honest, you all know I love music. Music, if you're listening from somewhere, wherever you're at, I love you, but it's your worst album.
He doesn't like this
No,
album. Music doesn't like this
no.
album. There's no
This
way
not
music
his
likes.
worst.
He would agree with me. I don't even think he acknowledges this album. If you ask him, bro, remember that Music in the Magic album? He'd probably be like, no, I don't
No.
remember. What do you mean?
I worked with Swiss Beats.
It's not his best album, but I appreciate it for what it was. You see a lot of artists taking a lot of chances on this in this year, and sometimes it worked, sometimes it didn't.
But
Hey,
in
I'll
no
say
way
they're near
is.
his worst though.
I
I'll
felt like,
say,
yeah, I felt
go
like
ahead, go.
the music was good. It just
Yeah.
it didn't have music's identity on it. So if you
Yeah,
slap like
that is true.
if you put Bobby V or Lloyd on that on those same songs, like you wouldn't notice the difference. Like those are
I
just
agree with
really
that.
good R&B songs, but they weren't Music Soul Child songs. Except
Yep.
probably Yes, because I think Claude Kelly specifically wrote that for music.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
So, shout out to music. Sorry,
I don't think he'll be mad at that.
Ben. Can't believe I'm the one defending music around here.
Noel Gordine, Fresh, The Definition.
Great album.
Rahsaan Patterson, Bleforia.
Great album.
Tank, Diary of a Madman.
I
I don't
barely even remember
remember.
that.
Yeah, I don't
It was
remember that very well.
a mixtape where on the cover
It was a
he has
mix.
no
Yeah.
shirt on. That's all I
Yeah.
remember. And some all these words were written on his body. I don't really remember why. There was a reason he put that out, I feel like.
He was, yeah,
Yeah.
he had the underrated song on there.
Yes. That's what he was going through at the time. Remember that whole thing?
He felt like he was underrated.
Yes.
Raphael Sadiq, Stone Rollin', Robin Thicke, Love After War. Tyrese, Open Invitation. He had the song I Got a Chick That Love Me. Is that what it was called?
I actually like that song. I didn't love the album, but I like that song.
Remember
It
we
had
gave
a
him the number one song, Kyle, of the year? Nothing on You. It was an album cut and it made number one.
Oh yeah, Tom, we did I mean Ed, we did that on purpose. On our year-end countdown, we made him number one in hopes that he would retweet it.
Did it work?
No, it did not.
Of
It
course
didn't. No,
not.
it definitely
You should have
no.
did a chick that loved me. I would have retweeted
And now
that.
it's documented. I can't
Ugh.
it's in history now. We can't go back.
It's a great
But
song, though.
it
I
is. It
love that
is.
song.
Yes, it is a good song. The Boyz II Men album 20. Ed, I actually re-listened to this not too long ago. It's actually a really good album.
This album is very good. I had forgotten about it until I did another album ranking. That's why I love my album rankings because it helps me refresh on some of this old stuff. And let's say it's a lot of there's like one disc with like the classics on it, but the new songs are great. It's a very underrated album.
Those Tim and Bob records. great.
Have you checked?
We have the Bobby V album, Tom, Fly on the Wall. You were at his album release party, weren't you?
I still remember it. Yeah. I remember that quality album.
Yeah. I had the record Words on it. That was a great thing for him. That was like, because Bobby V had this thing at that time where he would release like a radio record. I don't think Beep was on this album. Beep was on the previous album. Beep is also one of the most annoying songs.
Yes. I love Bobby V, but man, he got some songs that grind my gears. We all know my thoughts on Mrs. Officer. Oh my gosh.
Like a cop car. We have Lloyd's King of Hearts. Tom, do you want to reshare your story about the album release for this one?
I don't think I know this story.
Oh, I went to interview him. He was performing at BB King's. I always remember this in Times Square. And I was supposed to interview him. I had an interview lined up. And so I was waiting. I ended up going to the McDonald's across the street to wait because I wanted to sit down because it had been so long. 3 hours later, the interview was canceled. I never got to interview him and I went home. So I wasted 3 hours at McDonald's. It wasn't Lloyd's fault. Let's be honest. It was the team. Who knows what they were doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my Lloyd story. I waited 3 hours in a McDonald's to interview Lloyd and it never happened.
That sounds annoying.
Did you get an apple pie while you were waiting?
No. I think I probably got some fries though. Shout out to McDonald's fries. Can't go wrong there.
You can't go wrong. I was talking about best fries on Facebook yesterday. That's my number one.
I think it's National French Fries Day.
It was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
But Kyle, was that the Lloyd album where you randomly had some huge singles?
Yeah, he had Lay It Down. He had Cupid. Yes. He had Dedication to My Ex.
Yes, that one. I remember randomly just being
It was
huge.
On pop stations.
Yes, exactly. That was
you
crazy.
Remember that one, Ed? That's the one with Andre 3000 and Wayne.
Of course, that one, Lay It Down was like one of those songs that frustrated me because I wanted to love it, but he had to go into yodeling mode. And I was like, dude, just bring it on back because you're going too far on this. Yeah, that album had a lot of fun songs on it. And it's one of those forgotten gems of the era.
Yeah.
Now, Dedication, the lyrics of that song, are those, can you even take a song like that serious?
No.
It's not meant to be taken seriously.
No, you can't take that seriously.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And then I remember they made a radio edit for that song and they changed the chorus to I Miss That Lovin' and it just didn't have the same effect.
Yep. I remember all of this. What a time back when I used to still listen to radio.
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris Brown, the Fame album. This was his This was his comeback album. You had big hits like These Hoes Ain't Loyal.
Oh man.
She Ain't You, the Michael Jackson SWV thing going on, and then Tom's favorite song Deuces also appears on this album.
Those were both on that album.
Yep. This was the album, y'all, that made the Chris Brown that we know today is due to this album. Again, this is the era where we are basically reimagining and reshuffling the deck on who were the big stars. And from our mindset, you got Beyonce and you got these other headliners who are still trying to do the thing. Nope, it's Cousin Chris who come back from obscurity. You got to remember, he was often, we thought he was done after the Rihanna thing.
Yeah.
And then he came back and was like, I'm just going to be a rapper. And even though it seemed like a niche thing, he's still doing his fake rap today. So it's just so many things in this era. That's why I want to look back at it, even though people are like, oh my God, it's decades up. Number one, it wasn't as bad as we remember, but there are so many interesting things that reshaped everything. And this album is one of those that are benchmarks because not only did it reinvent his career, unfortunately, we got a whole generation of singers rapping.
Oh, Tom, on the same album, Look At Me Now. Mm-hmm. And No BS. So,
you know,
they're all on here.
It's actually important to mention this album. I'm sorry, I forgot who I was talking to. It might have been my guy, Zeppelin. Shout out to him. But he had pinpointed this album as ushering in the toxic era of R&B, which, looking back, you can't really argue it. Because, I mean, think about what followed. I mean, so much negativity in music. no more love being in the music, especially with the younger generation. So it's like, and Chris Brown obviously was a huge influence on the future generation. So
yeah,
man, that, and that's the thing I miss the most is love in the music, especially the younger generation. So it's like, this is a good point of kind of where it fell off. So thanks, cousin Chris.
Yep, but again, it just wasn't him. It was him. It was a combination of The Weeknd. It was Frank Ocean. R&B became not so much about a celebration of love. It became kind of like a cousin of hip-hop and just a way to kind of vent. And hip-hop was always about being aggressive and just,
yeah,
just portraying yourself in a different way. And hip and R&B lost the sensuality because it was chasing that. These albums that we talked about, those three specifically.
Yeah.
Yep. You can trace it back to 2011. Get mad at them, not me.
Side note, that Robin Thicke Love After War album was, because I listened to that recently. That was right before the Blurred Lines craze. That was actually a really solid album.
Yeah, it was an all right album. Most of his albums pre-Blurred Lines were pretty good. Yeah. After Blurred Lines, oh boy. But it was pretty good before that.
All right, so that was that. That's these albums. For some reason, Tom has Wale's Ambition on this list.
Wale.
This guy and Wale. My gosh.
You might as well call him an R&B artist. He was collaborating. He brought the best of Lloyd. He brought the best of Neo at the time. I mean, come on. You got to give the guy props.
He has a good ear for R&B. I will give him that. Every time I hear an album of his, the best album cut is always some R&B inspired thing. And I want to love Wale. I mean, he's a DC guy. Like, he's close to home. But he's another one that's like, I can't get him over the hump of okay to great. Like, get over that hump, homie.
And my apologies. I just realized Loyal was on the X album, not this Fame album. It all just blends together at this point, unfortunately.
X is basically a carbon copy of this. Well, no, actually, this and Fortune were a copy of this. Like, basically, he's remaking his Fame album for the past 10 years. So
yes.
I understand why you're confused.
Yes, yes.
I'm actually curious, just randomly, just speaking. Remember that Chris Brown album that had like 80 songs on it or whatever that was?
What?
I wonder,
do I remember it? Yes.
I wonder between the two of you, how many of the songs on that project you even name?
Not doing it. Can't do it.
Well, the thing is, he had like three super long albums. So I can name songs from maybe one of the three. I don't know
which. Yeah.
He had the song Heartbreak on the Full Moon. He had the song with the grinding beat that was actually really good. And that's all I know.
Oh,
yeah, Ed, you're one of a kind, man.
That might be a new game. I'll name a Chris Brown song from one of those three albums and you tell me which album it's on. That might be the new game here.
I would fail. Man.
Is this a classic song? Lotus Flower Bomb.
I don't know about a classic.
No. It's not a classic.
I don't know about a classic.
That was big.
It was big.
People want it to be a classic. I don't think so.
I don't know if that's a classic.
Damn.
It's a popular song that people remember. That's not necessarily classic.
Not a classic. All right. All right. Are we ready to get into the Rookie of the Year then?
Yes, because the answer is easy.
Oh, yeah, it is actually easy.
All right, we'll do it one at a time here. Ed, who is your Rookie of the Year?
Well, hold on. Can we list off the nominees?
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
Is that possible?
Okay. Yeah.
We have the Marsha Late Nights Early Mornings album, Jhené Aiko, Sailing Souls, Frank Ocean, Nostalgia Ultra, The Weeknd's mixtape that he had out. I don't really know if that counts, but we'll count it.
We'll count it.
Luke James, Luke EP. I don't know if that counts, but we'll count it. And Bridget Kelly's Every Girl EP. Because on that Bridget Kelly EP, there was a record on there. It was about him like murdering some girl. What was that song called? White Lies. Yes, the flashbacks are coming back. And then he had another record written by Fauntleroy, the self-titled Every Girl record. Man, that was a good EP. But anyways, who was your Rookie of the Year, Ed?
Well, if you know me, you know this is an easy, easy selection. Marsha Ambrose. By far, by miles and miles and miles, she knocks it down. Now, I know you could say, oh, well, she's not a rookie because she was doing the thing with Floetry. This is her solo debut. I'm counting it as that. This album absolutely just took over. I thought, again, that Marsha was setting herself up to be probably the person to lead us throughout the decade. She gave us a lot more great albums to come. So it's not like she vanished. But I don't think, as great as this album is, that it got the appreciation that it deserved. To me, it's this close to being a 5-star album. I thought it was incredible.
Wow. Tom?
I want to shout a couple rookies that we didn't mention. I really thought we're going to take off that around this time, and they had solid projects. Mack Wilds, his EP came out.
Mack Wilds.
Yep, Sterling Sims, remember him?
Yeah.
Antoine Dunn. Mm. I was friendly with him back then. CJ Hilton, he was being rolled out by Salam Remy back then. Hamilton Park.
Wow.
I forgot about Hamilton Park.
Yeah. Josh Xantas, I was cool with him back in the day, releasing a mixtape. Mm. And that's all I wanted to shout out. But I gotta say the same as Ed, Marsha Ambrosius. I mean, I shouted out her mixtape she had released the year before in 2010. Really liked it. This album though, Late Nights, Early Mornings, just really, really good. Not much else I can say.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with you guys as well. It's gotta be Marsha. I just remembered a great record, Your Hands. That's a Twitter classic right there.
Twitter classic.
People love that song.
I'm waiting for the youngins to yell at us for not saying Weekend, but no, it's not a Weekend.
No. Maybe on another platform, but not this one.
I'm going to give him props later, so stay tuned. Spoiler alert.
Yes. We forgot to do this last week, and I don't know if there really is a Twitter thriller here. An album that Twitter loves, but...
of course.
I mean, it's probably The Weekend and Frank Ocean, but...
Yes, Nostalgia Ultra is a Twitter classic, and all three of those mixtapes are considered, I think they all came out in the same year, House of Balloons, Thursday, and I can't remember the other one, Echoes of Silence. And they all sound like Final Fantasy spells. I don't know what they're called. But the point is, like, those, according to Twitter, are absolute Twitter classics. And I will say they were influential, even though they aren't perfect.
Tom? I will give you $5 right now if you can name a song off Frank Ocean's Nostalgia Ultra album.
Is that the album that has the orange car on the cover?
Yep.
Okay, I can't name any song, just so you know.
Well, I'm gonna pull this up and you might know a song here or there.
Okay, tell me.
You'll know a couple.
Oh, wait. It's on the tip of my tongue. All I know is he was singing off key. When you say the title, I'm going to know it. Say,
here we go. Novocaine.
Yep.
Yes. That's the one. Yes.
Novocaine and Swim Good. Those are the only two I can remember.
What a time to be alive.
Shout outs to Frank.
I wish I was asleep.
All right. Top three favorite R&B albums of 2011. We'll start at three. We'll make our ways around. We'll get to two, and then we'll get to one. Starting at number three, Ed.
Can we do honorable mentions before we do our three?
Yes. Sure.
Because there are so many albums I want to shout out, and I was doing my list, and I'm like, man. So I'll hit you with my honorable mentions, and then I'll do number three. My honorable mentions, much to Tom's dismay, would be My Life 2, an album that I think still doesn't get the credit it deserves, along with Kelly Price's album, Kelly, which is great. Another album that seems to be forgotten outside of a single or two, but that was a really good project. But I am going to show the children some love, and I'm going to go with number three. Yes, I'm going to do it. The House of Balloons. This album is very freaking weird. But 2011 Ed did appreciate it because it was an evolution of the sound. I didn't think it was going to take over like it did, but it was enough there. And probably because of the elements we talked about earlier, it was very reminiscent of the Aaliyah album and some other stuff that I liked from years prior that I really saw that was the foundation of. So I appreciate it for that. I would grow quickly tired of the broccoli haired boy as the years grow on. But in 2011, I'll give him House of Balloons for number three.
All right, Tom.
Are we excluding the rookie of the year in our top three?
No, put it in there. You can put it in there.
No.
Okay. Hold on. Doing some last second revisions here.
Papers are flying. Tom doesn't know. What to do.
All right. I got to go my honorable mentions. And man, when I look at this list, a lot of it is independent R&B artists. And I think I've actually grown to appreciate these projects more as I've gotten older, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But Anthony David, As Above, So Below, I actually really like. Robin Thicke's Love After War, I really like. Noel Gordin, Fresh to Definition.
Yes.
And Rahsaan Patterson, Blueforia. Those are my four honorable mentions. All right. And Rahsaan Patterson, it's actually interesting. I never thought I'd actually like it. It's kind of weird, but I kind of like it. It's like weird in a good way to me. So, all right. Number three, I'm going with Ledisi, Pieces of Me. Really, really like that album. To me, it was like her introduction to more of the, I think she had come onto a major label at that point. You know, she had so much recognition already. Took it to another level with this one. Really, really good project.
Nice. Some honorable mentions for myself here. The Boys to Men album is an honorable mention for me. Robin Thicke's Love After War, honorable mention. I'll put Lloyd's up there, King of Hearts, as an honorable mention. And I'll put Music in there because that I felt like that was a good album. My number three, this might be a surprise to you guys, but it shouldn't be. This man has starred in films such as Fast and Furious.
No, boy.
And Transformers. Recently, he just followed the You Know I Got Soul page. And he is a frequent commenter.
Recently.
He followed us on Twitter for years, but he somehow found us on Instagram. I gotta go with my man Tyrese, Open Invitation. There's a song on that album. So aside from the number one song that we had put into our countdown that year, Nothing on You, there's a song on there that features some horns that I really like. I Miss That Girl.
Mm.
So wow. Open Invitation is my number three.
Isn't that the album where he had Melanie Fiona on a song and then he kicked her off and put Brandy on instead?
No, that was the fall.
Yeah, it was. I have the track list in front of me.
Oh,
well.
No.
The rest of my lives.
No.
I don't remember this story.
That was the following album, Tom.
No, it's Open the rest of our lives.
Open Invitation?
Yeah. The track list is in front of me.
No. Hold on.
Why did he kick Melanie off? I don't think I know this story.
Hold on. I have the track list with me, too. I don't know. I'm confused now. But anyways, we're giving it to Tyrese. Ed, number two.
I don't know if he kicked her. I don't know the story. I'm just saying suddenly Brandy appeared on the song.
Are you insinuating that he had Melanie Fiona on the song, and then when he got Brandy, he said, okay, we don't need you anymore, Melanie?
No, I'm not saying that. Tyrese, we love you.
Are you insinuating that Tyrese did something crazy? I'm shocked and appalled.
No, I don't know. I don't know the story.
I'll tell you what, though. We need Melanie Fiona back.
Yes, we do.
Actually do.
My gosh.
Like, I know she, I think motherhood is treating her well, but we miss her voice. She is.
I am angry that we did not get enough of her.
Yeah.
Very angry.
Yep. Anyways, Ed, number two.
Anyway, number two, Tom, you stole my thunder a little bit on this one, but number two is Ledisi, Pieces of Me. Mm. We didn't really talk a lot about this album, but I thought it was fantastic. It's between this and The Truth as far as my favorite album from her. This might be the slight edge of the better albums, but Ledisi is just one of those voices that kind of emerged in this decade and didn't get the recognition that, and I feel like I say this for everybody, didn't get the recognition that was deserved. But even in R&B spaces, I feel like she doesn't get the recognition that's deserved. So this to me is probably peak Ledisi, my number two of 2011. Dope album.
All right, Tom, number two.
Before I say my number two, I'll go on record as saying, as of this moment, there are only two classics that came out in this year. two albums I'd consider a classic. Okay. Which is kind of, it was just kind of sad if you think about it.
That's two more than I would have put.
But. Yeah, I don't know if I would have picked any.
Go ahead.
But go
you
do
guys
your thing.
Are a bunch of haters. Are you telling yes. me this? Are yes, you telling me this Marsha Ambrosius album we just all applauded is not a classic?
In my household, yes. In the world at large, I don't know if I can call it a classic. But you know, I have very strict parameters for such things.
Yes.
But who really knows anything of the world at large besides us? I mean, we're really the authority on R&B. So what we say pretty much goes, I'd say.
I mean, well, in that you're case, not wrong. You're not wrong.
You ain't wrong there. I've seen the competition.
One of them.
So that's my number two.
Ed, one of them just got shut down.
Oh, Kyle! Kyle is desperate to talk about this, and we will not let him.
We will talk about it. We will talk
usually
about
I'm
it.
The one getting in trouble. Oh, Kyle, God. You do you.
Listen, can I just get this off my chest, and then I promise I won't talk about this anymore.
Okay, Kyle. Okay. Don't get us in legal trouble.
No. It's a learning lesson for us all, right? Like, stay humble on social media, because there's that one person that will dig up your past and ruin your life. So stay humble.
Player, I will not acknowledge any accusations, but to Kyle's point, I will just make this PSA for everyone listening. If you're mad, go to ET Bowser on Twitter.
Yes.
If you are out here running your mouth on social media, no matter who you are, just know that none of us are angels and somebody always got some receipts. Please keep that in mind before you wild out.
Yes.
That's all I'm reminding you.
Okay.
Now Kyle,
yes.
Let me remind you of something.
Yes.
You used to be known as, correct me if I'm wrong, the young firecracker.
That is true. So, I actually have to clean up my Twitter.
Yes, I was about to say, if this podcast ever blows up someday, they're going to go back and find something you said or that did someone or did something. I'm just saying.
That is true. That is true.
I think y'all need to worry about me more than Kyle. As much as slander as I've thrown over the past decade. Oh, Kyle, you all right?
All right.
I got to find your fire.
For the record, you guys don't have to worry about me. I never say anything. I don't even have a personal Twitter account. So.
That's true.
All right, number two, Tom.
Wait, that was Marsha.
Marsha, okay.
The classic album.
You know what? Number two, I will also have to give it to Marsha here, because that is a very, very, that's a very good album. Like Ed said, if the public doesn't acknowledge it as a classic, how can we?
Exactly.
But it is a really good album.
Oh.
Ed, you're number one.
Well, I think it's no surprise what my number one would be, because we've shown it enough love. These haters had it at number two. I don't know what they're smoking, because there's nothing better. Late Nights and Early Mornings by Marsha Ambrosius, one of the best albums of the 2010s, one of the best R&B albums of the past 20 years. I said what I said. Your Hands, Far Away, Tears. I Will Cheat on You with a Basketball Player. Even that's a banger. There's just so much great stuff here.
You just said one of the best albums of the past 20 years, but I tried to call it a classic and you said, no.
No, because because unfortunately, when I look at the designation of classic, it has to have some sort of overarching impact on R&B. Unfortunately, it did not have the impact it should have. So that's why unbiased album reviewer must not say, even though it's probably my favorite, but we got a couple more later we're going to get to. But I can't call it classic.
Then you will not like me calling this first one my number one a classic either.
Probably not.
Shout out to my guy, Eric Roberson, Mr. Nice Guy. I love this album. Maybe irrationally so, but man, if you really dig into this one, it's really, really good.
It should have been in my honorable mentions. You're right there. That's a great album.
And this was coming off of, I think, Music Fan First. He joined the record label, I think, E1 at the time. Took it to it, not to another level, but continued that momentum and just, man, gave such a great project. And to me, it's grown on me as I've gotten older. So that's why I appreciate it more.
My number one, I got to give it to Beyonce here. The 4 album. She had some of the most classic lines of all time. Lines that don't even make sense, but
no,
memorable. Ed, there was a line, I don't know much about algebra, but I know 1 + 1 = 2.
Oh my God. That song.
I don't know what that actually means. Tom,
It means she doesn't know anything about algebra because that would have nothing to do with 1 + 1.
But... I don't know. and then there was another. There was a great life lesson provided by Beyonce in one of her songs that said, "Who needs a degree when you're schooling life?" Is that applicable to the regular job? Wait a second.
Oh my goodness.
This is your queen. This is your queen.
That was a great album. I gotta give it to Beyonce. I put it on record. Her second best album. After the BD album.
This album had to grow on me. I thought it was okay at the time, but I have appreciated it more, probably because I know we'll never get another R&B album from this lady again, but it is a good album for sure.
And that was the album before... this was the album in the midst of it. She got pregnant, so we didn't really get to see the full scope of what it could have been, but great album. I gotta give a shout-out to Beyonce. All right, so that is 2011 for us. We're slowly but surely moving into the dark ages. 2012 is coming up.
The dark ages. Oh, man.
It's about to get rough in these streets.
It is.
I'm taking a glance at 2012 to see if I even want to show up for that episode.
No, there's some stuff in 2012, I promise you. It really doesn't get super dire until the second half of the decade.
Yeah.
2017, you'll be jumping out a window.
I'll be honest, Ed. I was telling Tom about this. There's some albums that have come out this year. In years past, I would at least take a listen to see if I like anything. These days, when a new album comes out, I don't even bother.
Well, yeah. Just go to Soul and Stereo. I'll tell you what to listen to. And you probably got like 4. I like Mahalia. I like Tiana Lede, you didn't even like that. Like it's tough in these streets. Music album was great.
Oh yeah, that came out this year.
Yeah, it's like a few months ago. Yes.
Wow. That felt like 3 years ago.
It's confirmed, guys. I'll be showing up next episode just to talk about my boy John B's Comfortable Swag album. I gotta talk about El Varner.
Wow. Oh, El Varner. My girl
El Varner. And I would love I gotta be there just to hear Kyle talk about Brandy's 2011 album.
Oh yes, the 2011 album.
Maybe I'm the one that needs to take a break from 2012.
Oh man. Flashbacks. Didn't Raheem Devon turn up to Put It Down by Chris Brown? Was it Raheem? Tom?
Wait, what?
You were at a club and you saw, who was it that was turning up to Put It Down by Brandy? It was like a respected R&B artist.
This does not ring a bell. Definitely not Raheem. Don't slander his name.
I don't know anymore. You told me.
I'll think about it. I'll try to remember.
All right. Which was a great song. Shout out to Sean Garrett, by the way. But
I do like that song.
We are out of here. I appreciate everyone for taking a listen. Actually, we have to get into a food discussion. I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
So I think it was in Japan. I think I sent you guys a photo of this. Burger King has this new burger in Japan. It's a meatless burger, but instead it's stacked with like 50 slices of cheese. Would you eat that?
Oh yeah, the burgerless cheeseburger. That's the grossest thing I had ever seen that whole day. Like, why would I want that constipation burger? And it's not even like melted nacho cheese. There's like a bunch of Kraft singles. Like that has to taste like cardboard.
No. That's a pass.
Rough. Okay. I think that's it for this week. We'll be back soon for 2012. Ed, so in stereo, we need another love letters here. We got to, actually, you did write one about Keke Palmer and one. Usher.
That's R&B. My gosh.
Ed, Tom, do you know about this whole fiasco?
No. What?
Ed, please summarize.
Oh, real quick, because this is a mess. So, Keke Palmer. First of all, Tom, do you even know who Keke Palmer is? You don't watch movies.
Of course I know who that is. That's a celebrity.
Okay, it's a celebrity. Anyway, she went to Usher's show, and she had on a very real revealing dress. It actually wasn't that bad. But Usher is being Usher and, you know, doing his all up on top of her and glancing at her cheeks and all this stuff. So Kiki's baby daddy, father, whatever, releases this post. This like, oh, she's not acting like a mother because she's out here half dressed. And social media had a meltdown. Look, players, let's keep it real. He's talking about the dress. This has nothing to do with his dress. I'm going to tell you what happened. My man is at home folding diapers or whatever he's doing. He got a text from his boy, and his boy was like, did you see Usher all up on your girl? What you gonna do about it? What you gonna, you better handle that. And that's what he did. That is, I promise you, what happened. And he made it about the dress because he, if he attacked Usher, then he was like a hater and nobody would do that. So he's like, oh, she's not presenting herself well. And of course, everybody ran with it with the think pieces. It ain't that deep. What it is this dude was insecure and acted out of character. Listen to your boy. Listen to his brother who's been married 17 years. I've been married longer than some of you players been alive. But if you have an issue with your significant other, wait till she gets to the house. Why are you putting it on Twitter? Talk about it behind closed doors. You can do whatever, whatever. If he had just done that and not performed for his boys or whomever, none of this would have happened and he wouldn't have got canceled. That's the long and short of it, Tom.
So the moral of the story here, keep it off Twitter. Just put it on Threads.
Oh, true, you won't get canceled as fast.
Or put it on Spill. Or put it on Spill. No one would read it.
Yeah, so. Nobody will see that.
All right, I think that's it for this week's podcast, guys. We'll be back soon with another episode. I know there was a great idea on the Soul and Stereo Cipher, Tom. I'm wondering if there's an appetite for this one. A podcast dedicated to your favorite R&B remixes. Or even hip-hop R&B collaborations.
I think we could definitely do an episode of that.
Because I was just listening to the Mace, Puffy, and 112 record Jealous Guys. And let me tell you, when I listened to 2023 R&B, Mace was not sounding that bad on that song.
I am no fan of 1997 Mace, but he actually sounds like Rakim compared to what I got to listen to.
Oh man.
But yeah, we have there's enough that we could do an episode on that. I was just thinking through. Yeah, there's plenty. Sure. I mean, nothing really recent, but you know, no one wants to hear about recent stuff anyway.
No, unless you like Ice Spice on a remix. I think you're good.
Shout out to Justin Timberlake for jumping on that Coco Jones.
Leave Justin alone. That song is good. Leave Justin alone.
Yes. Shout out to Justin. All right, we're out of here before we get in trouble. I'll talk to you guys soon. All right.